Hello and welcome. I am Shauna DeMellon, and this is the Oracle of Light podcast. In today's episode, we are going to look at 9 different ways to stay mentally strong in your busy life. I don't know about you, but I find life has a way of just sort of taking over, and I have so many to-do lists, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, Sometimes I feel like I'm pulled in so many different directions. And recently I've just started to really focus on completing things and getting things done and feeling that sense of accomplishment. And I've always had a fascination with rewiring the brain and staying mentally strong and really being cognizant, being aware of the thoughts that I'm thinking, because those thoughts are creating my reality. And sometimes I find my thoughts will take me down a rabbit hole or two. And then by the time I realize I'm down there, I go, oh, I just did that thing again. I've really started to look at ways to stay mentally strong amidst the busyness, you know, stuff that goes on. Everybody has stress. We've got upsets. We've got, you know, family stuff, friends stuff, you know, there can be health stuff. We've got things with business, with finances, you know, it's just, there's so many different things that life can throw our way. And when we are coming from a place of being mentally strong, then no matter how busy we get, we still feel centered. We still feel grounded. We feel like life can throw anything at us and we've got it. We've got it covered, that nothing is going to impact the way that we see the world, and nothing is going to impact the way that we see that end result, the end game, as I call it. What are we striving for? Is there a legacy that we'd like to leave behind? Is there a project that we're working on? Are we, you know, wanting to be the top salesperson in our department? Are we wanting to launch a new program, write a new book? What does that look like? And so just keeping those things in mind, often referred to as our why, and then finding different ways to mentally stay strong when things get a little chaotic. And now chaos can be good. This is something that I've learned firsthand in the last few years in my life. I used to worry that things were too chaotic. They were too crazy and, you know, too spicy, as I always say, just things were too out of hand. But what I find is that I need that little bit of chaos to kind of get me going. I need to have that little bit of chaos in my world to help me really get focused and clear. And really, I use it to drive me now. Whereas before I used to let it shut me down, now I use it as a driving force. Now I use it as a way to catapult me into what I'm striving for, what I need to get done, what that looks like. And so 9 ways to stay mentally strong in your busy life. Number 1, writing down 3 things that you're grateful for every day. This really is a game changer. In previous episodes, you've heard me talk about the different vibrational frequencies of our emotional states. Love is at 500. Jesus or Gandhi, those energies, those people, those frequencies are at about 1,000. And gratitude and love are at about 500. And the majority of the planet resonates anywhere from 200 to 300. So, you know, and another example is grief is operating, that's at a vibrational frequency of 70. So a lot of the clients that I work with who are grieving and working through the grieving process can get frustrated because they're not manifesting. But when they realize that they're at a vibrational frequency of 70, then they understand that the universe is trying to meet them halfway, but that they need to bring that vibration up. And so by keeping our vibration in states of gratitude, love, the higher, the better, the more that we'll make room in our world to co-create with the universe and bring in those synchronicities. And then people will come in to help us and show us different things. And so every day, writing down 3 things that you're grateful for. I used to do this in my marriage. We had a book, and at the end of every day, we would write in that book what we were grateful for about the other person. And that is really beautiful. And so you can do this for yourself. At the end of the day is a beautiful time to do this. And even throughout the day, if you find something that just fills your heart with joy, just stopping for that brief moment and capturing it and just really acknowledging, oh, I love this. I love standing here under the warm sun. It's so spectacular. I'm so grateful for this moment. Or I'm so grateful that my friend is here and they give the best hugs. Or I'm so grateful that my business is flourishing. I'm so grateful. And the more that we can stay in that gratitude frequency, again, the easier it is for the universe to match that. And so writing down three things you're grateful for every day. And they don't have to be big things. They can be, I'm grateful for my home. I'm grateful for the beautiful country that we live in. I'm grateful for fresh strawberries out of the garden. I mean, it doesn't have to be this huge thing, but just genuinely coming from your heart, what are you grateful for? Number two, this one I found really quite interesting is never argue with a stranger. How many times have we wanted to be right about something, and that will get us on that proverbial hamster wheel, as I like to call it, and our mind will just take over. That incessant critter mind, I like to refer to it as, will just start going with, and I'm going to take this a step further and say, perhaps it's never arguing with anyone, really. I mean, you really have to come from a place of asking, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Do I want to, make this person see things the way that I see them? Or do I want to make them wrong? Do I want to make me right? Do I want to make the situation wrong? Arguing, I find, is always about making someone wrong or something or someone lesser than, that it's wrong, it's bad, it's missing something, as opposed to, cool, that's the way you see the world. All right, that's awesome. And sometimes something will happen in our world, or someone will say something that is just so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so unkind that yes, we need to stand up and take a stand and say something and voice an opinion or voice something. Yes, absolutely. There are those moments in life that it'll benefit greatly for you to stand up and say something and speak your mind or stand your ground. Absolutely. But this is something to just keep in mind. If you're going around trying to argue and prove to people that you're right, the way you see it is right, that's going to be draining for you mentally. That isn't going to keep you strong mentally. It's going to keep you in that making them wrong because I'm right. And it just creates this tension. And that will really, it'll drain your energy. Number three, another way to stay mentally strong is to celebrate your successes more often. I think, from what I've seen in my practice over the years, and myself as well, is that once we get whatever that is, we finish something, something goes really well, we get it, we're like, yeah, great, cool, and then it's like we're on to the next thing. Instead of relishing in that, instead of sitting in it and just really being in the energy of it, you know what? I put in extra hours for the last 9 months to make this project happen. I stayed up late every night for the last month to get this online program up and running. I write anytime I can in my spare time, and I've got, these blog posts ready to go, and I've got this book that's ready to go. Whatever that is, I think it's really important to celebrate the successes that we have and to really acknowledge the work that we've done. Sometimes we're digging, we're in those trenches, and then when we do achieve that success, sometimes it's very easy to just go, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, and then we're on to the next thing. But again, really celebrating those successes. This really does help strengthen your mental capacities because it reinforces that. I learned this years ago that if we're not making progress, we're stifling, we're not growing, we need to be making progress, whatever that is. If you're working on your physical body, maybe it's are you losing weight or do you want to gain muscle or whatever that is with your physical body, and you need to be able to see that and track that progress to be able to grow and to flourish. And the same thing applies to every aspect of our life. If we don't feel like we're making progress, that's when we can start to feel hopeless and then are depressed or we give up and it's, what's the point? And so, it's really important to celebrate your successes, you, and not, it's nice to have the accolades from other people. It's nice to have the recognition, absolutely. But you need to be able to look in the mirror and go, you rock. You're amazing. We did that. Yes. It starts with you. And that sort of mind I'm not even sure what the word is for that. That sort of mind state of mind is really going to help you stay mentally strong when you're busy, right? Like some days my life gets so chaotic and busy, and there's just so much going on that I sort of, I've noticed that lately that I'll kind of just brush over things that I'm really, really proud of. And there was this quote I read the other day by Gary Vee. I follow him on Instagram, and he said, "Don't stop until you're so effing proud of yourself." And I printed it and I put it on my computer. I've got it everywhere. I'm like, you know what? That is so key. Don't stop until you're so effing proud of yourself in whatever area that is. And again, that will help you to stay mentally strong when life takes over, when kids are sick, when the in-laws are coming, or a project doesn't go off as you'd hoped it would, or the house doesn't sell when you wanted it to, or that promotion goes to somebody else. Whatever that is, when you start to build that mental muscle so that it's strong no matter what's going on around you, it just creates so much more ease and possibility in your world. Number four is stop comparing yourself with others. Oh, this is so huge. Oh my goodness. When I first started doing readings years ago, I worked in a place, and it was always about who was better, who was more accurate, who had the highest number of people returning. And it just became this proverbial ego show, really. And it just became everyone comparing themselves to everybody else instead of thinking, cool, I really like how that person does this XYZ. I wonder if I could infuse something like that into my world instead of seeing it as, oh, well, they do that and I do this. They're better, I'm better. They do it better, I do it better. Oh, my client didn't book in with me, they booked in with them. It must mean that I'm not good enough. And it just created such drama, trauma. Oh my goodness. And so stop comparing yourself with others. And this really comes back to really celebrating who you are and really knowing that there isn't anyone on the planet, nor will there ever be anyone on the planet like you again, ever, period. That you are amazing, that you are magical, you're a unicorn, whatever words you want to use. And so that when we feel that sense of, you know what, I'm pretty darn amazing. I'm amazing and I'm incredible and I'm so excited to share my gifts and share my love, my heart, whatever that is with the world, then when we're focused on we focus on how much better we can be ourselves. Like not from a place of I need to get better, I need to get better, I need to be better, but rather from a place of, okay, yesterday I could bench press 70 pounds. Cool. I wonder if next week I can do 75. Again, progress, acknowledging what we've done. And I'm not comparing myself to anyone else at the gym. This is me with my body, what this is. And so stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing your body to other bodies. That's a hard one, right? I mean, oh my goodness, that's hard. I remember when I was a teenager growing up, it was, go on a diet, eat carrots all day. You don't want to be fat. You want to be a certain size. You want to, be able to go into this store and wear their clothes. And oh my goodness, like the comparing, I can remember from, I think I was around 12 or 13, comparing my body with other bodies. That starts early. And we're just inundated with so much information that you should look like this. You should have this car. You should have this many trips a year. You should shop at these stores. You should have this kind of watch. You should have this kind of purse. You need these shoes. I find that we have put our joy and our happiness outside ourselves, and then it's like we have to continue to compare ourselves with other people because all of these things are outside us. But if we clear away all of those things, all of that stuff, and really get clear about who we are, and really get to a point of loving and adoring who we are, regardless of what anybody else says, and we stop comparing ourselves with others, then again, we don't get on that hamster wheel with, I'm not as good as that person. I'm not as skinny as that person. I can't bench press as much as that person. I'm not good. I'm this, I'm that. So it really does strengthen your mental state when we stop comparing other people. It's like jumping into their lane. If we focus on staying in our lane and other people are passing us faster, sure. We're passing other people, sure. Realizing that we have our own back and the universe has our back and that we don't need to compare ourselves with others. I mean, there really is no comparison if you look at it. There really isn't, because we are all so unique and so different. And that's what makes us so special, that we're all uniquely special and individual. And now, number five, allowing yourself to be vulnerable. This is huge. I found lately that it's been interesting how the universe brings these lessons into my world. I found lately that I've been willing to be so vulnerable with pretty much everyone I've met. I've found myself saying, "I'm just an open book. What do you want to know?" And part of it was very, very liberating, just to be. This is who I am. If you love it, great. If you don't, go. But then there's still that little piece in there where I didn't want to be that vulnerable. And then after I was that vulnerable and I put it out there, then I thought, oh my God, maybe that was too much. Oh my God. And then I start second guessing. And then, oh my God, what if they don't like it? And it was so interesting. It was so fascinating to be in that place. It was almost this dichotomy it was like a duality, if you will, right? I want to be vulnerable. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to get out there. And then there's a part of me that was just like, "Ee, this is too much. It's too scary. Let's not be vulnerable." So willing to be vulnerable is just willing to be seen, really. And I believe that's the essence of why we crave such connection with other people, is that we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to feel valued. We want to be acknowledged. And when you're being vulnerable, you're putting it all out there. But I think we need to tweak it so that we're not expecting anything from the other person. I think that's where we get our hearts set on something, and that's where we have expectations, and that's where things don't work out. And so if we're willing to be vulnerable from a state of, you know what, I'm just going to put it out there. And that's me, that's mine, I own it, that's my choice. And not look for the reassurances, not look for that, "Hey, you're okay, that's awesome. You spread it all out there, that's great." And so, yeah, sometimes we still like to have that little bit of reassurance, absolutely. But when we really truly allow ourselves to be vulnerable, it's like we don't have to wear any masks. We can just be who we are. And the people that are meant to gravitate toward us and find us will. And the people that are not meant to be in our world will fade away. I always say to people, you know, if there's someone in their world that they haven't let go of, or they didn't want to let go of, they haven't been willing to let go of, I always tell them, you know, I sort of play devil's advocate with that and tell them, if you're willing to release that relationship and let it go and be whatever it needs to be, whether they come back or they don't, you're freeing up that pathway for even more people who are aligned with you to find you. And that takes courage, and that takes being vulnerable. Just to understand that not everybody is going to like us. I always wanted everyone to like me. Wanted everyone to like me. I would bend and staple and conform and shrink and, you know, not speak up so that people liked me. And that isn't being vulnerable. That is being basically a puppet to try to fit in. And I found that maybe you can relate to this. I found that I was a chameleon. Because I was intuitive and I could read the energy in the room, I knew when to be really quiet. I knew when to be really funny. I knew when to be really caring and concerning, and I knew when to just sort of be a wallflower. It was interesting. And so that's how I grew up. I grew up, you know, gauging other people's energy and then adjusting accordingly. And that isn't being vulnerable. And so, you know, as I work through my 40s, it's really about, who am I? How do I want to share myself with the world? And trusting that if someone is removed from my life, that they were meant to be. I'm not sure where that's coming from. There's a lot of relationship stuff that's coming up around this. And so I invite you to really look at that. If something is sitting heavy with you as we're going through these nine different ways, I invite you to look at it. Number six, declutter. Or throw away things that you haven't used for a long time. this is something so huge. I always think of it as, you know what? I have all of these beautiful gifts that people have taken the time to give me. I love them. I'm grateful. It's lovely, wonderful. And then I really ask, I hold it close to my heart and I just ask, okay, truth, are you meant to stay in my house? Do you want to stay in my house? Do I love having you in my house? And if there's a no, then it's okay, cool. Am I donating you? Am I giving you to somebody? Like, what am I doing with you? And so it's really about going through and clearing up that clutter and just clearing away things that you haven't used, that you don't like, that you keep because somebody gave you, because you know, every time they come over for Thanksgiving, you have to bring out that platter because they want to see it. Not because you love the platter, but just because you know that they're going to be looking for it. So yeah, really going through and decluttering things. And it really frees up the energy. I don't understand a whole lot about feng shui, but I do understand that the energy flows. You know, if you go into a room that's really cluttered and there's stuff everywhere and it's messy and just unorganized, I find that my energy just kind of goes, eh, like it just feels heavy, dense. Whereas if I go in a room and the energy is circulating and it feels light and bright, it just makes me happy. It's like, oh, this feels really good. So I will go through all the rooms in the house. I'll go through every now and again and just kind of go through. And there's a room in the basement where everything just kind of gets stockpiled. And then it's just so refreshing to go through that room and just kind of pick away at it every now and again. And, you know, is this staying? Does this bring me joy? Do I need to give this to someone else? Does this want to be donated? You know, I had a whole box full of, you know, dishes and different things that had been broken at some point, and I kind of put them in the crazy glue box, thinking, you know, one day I will fix all of these things. And then I realized this is ridiculous. I've moved, you know, three houses, and these things haven't been repaired. I don't even know that they're down here, and so I threw them out. It was just like, you know what, this has got to go. And it's very, very liberating to go through and clear things up because, again, the more that we're willing to clear up, the more room that we create for things to come into our world that we really love. Could be relationships, could be business, could be money, finances, could be beautiful things, whatever that is. Once we clear away what isn't adding value or benefiting our life, we make room for delicious things that will. Number seven. Use more positive words. Our mind is so incredible, and we really do create from the thoughts that we're thinking. And if those thoughts are predominantly life isn't working, things aren't going well, why should I bother? Nothing's going to work out for me, then that's the reality that we're creating. The universe doesn't decipher between what we want and what we really want and what they think we want. Whatever we're putting out is what we're magnetizing. And so using more positive words, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I'm willing to trust. I'm willing to go with this and reach for a better thought, a better vibration. What else is possible with this? Is there something here I'm not seeing? What can I do with this to shift it? Is there something I can do to change it? Is there someone I need to talk to? And so just using more positive words, just really being cognizant of the words that you're using. And if we need to shift and change that and add some more fun words, and you know, every day in every way, life gets easier and easier. Every day in every way, I'm finding more joy in my life, whatever that is. Again, we're just using more positive words. Number eight. This one was huge. And it's cry whenever you're really sad. I find that we often, myself included, you know, the tears will start to come up, and depending on where I am, I'll try to stuff them down, and I don't want to cry, and I don't want someone else to see me cry, and my makeup is perfect, and I don't want to wreck my makeup. And sometimes we need to just let it out and have that blubbering, messy cry, nose running, the whole thing. We just need to let it out. There are certain toxins that the body can't release any other way except through tears. And if your body has experienced any trauma, any abuse, the body needs to cry to release that. So sometimes we find ourselves crying and we don't really understand why. That's why our body is releasing, our body is healing, our body is letting go. Oftentimes we experience harsh energies or thoughts or, you know, things directed at us that are just not kind, they're not loving, they're not a benefit. And we can absorb that stuff and it gets stuck in our energy field, and our body can impact, you know, it can impact our body, and our body can feel that. And it's so important that we clear that away. And so whenever you do feel like you need to cry, if something's triggered you, if you feel emotional, if, you know, whatever that is, it's so important just to let that go, just to let it release. I always feel so good after a cry. I was the other week, I just sat there and I bawled. I'm not even really sure why. I was having a good day. I don't know. Like I really honestly didn't think of anything. There wasn't anything, a defining moment that triggered me. But yet I sat there and I cried for about a half hour, just releasing and crying and letting it go. And then afterwards it was like, oh, okay. I don't know what that was, but wow, I felt so much lighter. I felt so much better. And then I was ready to get on with my day. And so that's another way to stay mentally strong whenever life gets busy. You know, if we keep trying to hang on to it, trying to stuff it down, trying to wait to the perfect time, you know, get the kids tucked into bed. And, you know, it just, we feel we're just being pulled in, you know, so many different directions, and we don't allow ourselves to let go, it'll catch us at a really inconvenient time. That's what I found. I found if I haven't given myself time to process something, or my body the time that she's asking for to process something, I could be in the middle of a meeting and I'll start to tear up and I'm like, oh, not now. And so it's really important to find that. I'll sit by the river and cry. I find that's a beautiful, beautiful place to release and just let it go. And again, and sometimes there are tears of joy. Some, you know, for the longest time, I didn't understand. Every now and again, I would just have just this fullness in my heart. And I didn't quite understand that was joy, that I was so happy that it was joyful. And so there are tears of joy, gratitude, love, possibilities. And number 9, as a way to stay mentally strong in your busy life, is spending time alone regularly. And I know for busy moms, that's hard, right? You know, you shut the bathroom door and you lock it and there are fingers peeking underneath and somebody's trying to get in. And it's really important to carve out that alone time. For a lot of my clients, you know, the guidance is to get up 15 minutes early and have that first 15 minutes of the day just alone to do some breath work, some light stretching, to enjoy some water, maybe do some journaling, do a meditation, whatever that is, or enjoy a cup of coffee in the peacefulness of the house. But it's so important to carve out that time, to spend time alone on a regular basis. And it doesn't have to be sitting on a mountaintop like a, you know, a monk in Tibet. It can just be a half hour here, an hour there, a couple of hours throughout the week. We all have time. If it's important, we will make the time. If it's not important, we'll find excuses. And so it's really, really important to understand that you need alone time on a regular basis. And, you know, for me, it's, I find, you know, going through a divorce this year and, you know, having the house to myself so often now, the majority of the time I'm by myself in the house, and I really love it. I absolutely love it. And so I have to be very cognizant of who I'm allowing into my energy or my space, because I'm usually very vulnerable, very open and very loving. And I want everybody to be happy and have a kumbaya moment. And, you know, I realized that in the last couple of months, that I allow different energies and people into my world that after they left, I felt kind of drained and I just didn't feel as happy. And so it's almost like I need to protect my alone time. So if you're struggling to find alone time, I invite you to look at that. Get up 10 minutes early, even taking 5 minutes throughout the day and doing some breath work and just placing your hand over your heart and connecting into your heart. Every time we connect into and touch our heart space, we're releasing oxytocin. And oxytocin is beautiful, joyful, happy energy. And that just anytime you can do that, just for a few minutes throughout the day. Sometimes I'll put timers on my phone every couple of hours. I'll stop and I'll just, you know, take a few deep breaths. I'll express gratitude. I'll, you know, refocus on what I'm creating, what I'm building, and just, you know, really connect into me and what I'd like to create in the world. And so really finding that time for alone time. We've all got time. Again, if it's important, we will make the time. And if it's not, then maybe it's not as important right now. But if you are craving alone time, then you need to look at that. Do you need a babysitter, getting up early, you know, going for walks, joining a class? You know, what does that look like for you to have alone time? And so just to recap, the nine ways to stay mentally strong in your busy life. Number one, write down three things you're grateful for every day. Number two, never argue with a stranger. I would say never argue with anyone. I don't know. We'll have to play with that. Because again, when you come from a place of arguing, it's one person's wrong and one person's right, or one person's bad. And it just kind of creates this duality that no one, it's not a win-win creation. Number three, celebrate your successes more often. Number four, stop comparing yourself to others. Number five, allow yourself to be vulnerable. Number six, declutter as much as you possibly can. Seven, positive words. Eight, crying when you're sad, allowing your body to release anything pent up, any emotions, anything at all, allowing it to release through your tears. And nine, spend time alone regularly. These are just really the tip of the iceberg. There are so many other ways that you can stay mentally strong when life starts to throw, you know, different things at you. For me, it's kickboxing. You know, I go to the gym. As soon as I put my gloves on, oh, there's some magic that happens. That really helps me to release. I love the mountains, as you know, I've mentioned in several other episodes. And for those of you who know me, mountains, you know, I'm out for hikes several times a week. I'm in the mountains, I'm bike riding, you know, skiing, just whatever I can do to be in the mountains is just so rejuvenating for my mind, my spirit, my body. I love baths, you know, Lush bath bombs, boom, just saying, amazing. I love that alone time in the bath. Oftentimes I will just grab a cup of coffee or an iced tea and I'll just go and sit in the backyard. We have this beautiful garden where there, you know, the butterflies and the hummingbirds and squirrels and bees and just all this beautiful wildlife that I just sit and marvel and watch. And in those moments, I also express gratitude. This is so beautiful. Thank you. And how does it get better, right? Keeping it expansive. And so there's so many different ways that you can stay mentally strong. Give me a shout out. Let me know what some of yours are. And I'd love to hear your comments and your messages and saying thank you so much. I'm sending you mountains of love. Have fun with this. Let me know how you're doing. And I will talk to you next week. Bye for now.